Today's share of Mishnah Ruyemi is Siman Tafresh Mem, and we are in the middle of the Ramah in Sif Dalid, toward the end of the Amud, where he says, Mi shelo yuchal lishon basuka machmas shetzar bepishut yadav viraglov lo mikri mitzdayer v'chayev lishon sham af agav tzarech l'choyf yadav viraglov. So he says here that someone who cannot sleep in the sukkah because the sukkah is too narrow for him, and it's too narrow for him to spread out his arms and legs, this is not deemed as being in a mitzdayer, in distress, and he therefore must sleep there, even though he will have to bend his arms and legs. Comes the Mishnah Brura, and he says as follows. Lo mikri mitzdayer. Why? The derech adam lefamim lishon kach kafuf. This is because it's usual for a person to occasionally sleep this way, sleep bent in this manner. Uraya, what's a proof to this? Meha de kaimelon shashir sukkah shiva al shiva tvachim. A proof can be brought from the fact that we paskin that the minimum shear of a sukkah is zayin al zayin tvachim. And there, shibavada ein adam yachal lishon sham yom lo bekvifas gufo veivarav. There, a person definitely cannot sleep unless he bends his body and his limbs, right? Since a sukkah is kosher only if it can serve all residential functions, as we already saw in the Ramah, so that if a person were to be considered mitzdayer while sleeping with his limbs bent, then a sukkah of such small proportions would never be able to be good, not only for not sleeping, but also wouldn't be able to be good for eating. It's not going to be good sukkah. And it should be pointed out that the Taz disagrees with the Ramah, and he maintains that having to bend one's limbs is considered mitzdayer, and the reason a sukkah of such small proportions is kosher is because by initially building it in that way, it shows that it does not bother him. Psh, that's pretty wild, right? Let's see weiter. We're going to see more about this Taz soon. He says, "Ulefi zeh," back to the Ramah. Afilu im asa oisa lechatchila beofen sheruya lishon sham bepishut. He says, based on this, even if one originally built his sukkah in a way that enabled him to sleep there while stretched out, the achar kach ba eze inyan shenase dochuk vitzar lishkov, God came mechuyev lishon sham. He says, based on this, even if one originally built his sukkah in a way that enabled him to sleep there while stretched out, but only afterwards something happened to make it all squishy and squashed and tight for those sleeping there. So even that scenario, he'd be still obligated to sleep there in the sukkah. Now, based on what we said before in the Taz, if one initially made a large sukkah and it now became restricted, he would be exempt because the need to sleep with bent limbs is mitzdayer. The Ramah and the other poskim, however, who maintain that sleeping in that manner is not considered mitzdayer, so they would require, and that's what he says, one to sleep in a small sukkah, regardless of whether it began that way or only later became smaller. So there's a nice lashitaso with the Taz. Now, the Sefer Nahar Shalom, he goes on now in the Mishnah Brura, the Chassav of Sefer Nahar Shalom, to mekoma kol mishu unag bekim le begavid day av mitzdayer lishon sham bekvifa eino chinami shepotu me lishon sham. He says, the Sefer Nahar Shalom writes that, nevertheless, one who is a pampered individual and knows of himself that for him, sleeping there with bent limbs is mitzdayer, so he's indeed potter from sleeping there. This is the Nahar Shalom. So this becomes a pretty tricky halacha. And then he writes here in the brackets, but he says, nevertheless, he will be yotze by eating there, since at the time he built the sukkah, it was fit for him to eat and sleep there. Next Bishop Rusif Katmchav Zayin, afal gav tzarech lechvoif yadav haragvav, so even though he will need to bend his arms and his legs, the Rama says he's chayav to sleep there, and it's not considered mitzdayer. He says, "Hainu af im ein lo etza heyach l'shot raglav chutz l'sukkah." This is even, he says, if he does not have the option of stretching his legs out of the sukkah, the paishe raglav chutz l'sukkah, because when we're talking about a situation where he could stretch his legs out of the sukkah, kule amalo mikrim stair, there, all agree it does not make one mitzdar bekach. Chayiv lishon sham. He's going to be chayiv to go ahead and sleep there. He actually starts the zayir shi ashulchan gam kein b'soch hasukkah. He says one must be sure though that the table is also in the sukkah. The lav hachi chayshin shami yimashich achas shulchanah. Because if it isn't in the sukkah, we're going to be concerned that he might gravitate toward the table, as we saw above in Tuf Resh Lamed Dalet. Now this is a little perplexing to the Achronim, because it seems to contradict a Shaar HaTzion elsewhere, where it writes that the Shulchan must be in the Sukkah only if one is eating off of it, but one is allowed to eat food held in one's hand even if there's no table in the Sukkah. So why would it be necessary here to have a table inside a Sukkah when he's sleeping? So the Sitzer Eliezer basically explains that the Mishnah Berurah just means to point out that although such a small sukkah is kosher, one has to be sure that when eating in the sukkah, there's enough room for the table. It's a little difficult. And the Licha Shlomo writes that this is really, ultimately, really a typist error, because the source of this psak is the Prima Gadim, who's referring to one who is eating in the sukkah. And in fact, it's explicit in the Magen Avraham that one can remove the table when going to sleep. So this is a very difficult Mishnah Berurah here. And that's what he says. The ach shetzarach lizayir is problematic in terms of any real halacha lemaisa from it in the Mishnah Berurah, to take it literally what he's saying. Continue on, Leichter. Now, a person cannot claim, I am a mitzdayer, unless it is something that people typically consider a mitzdayer. Again, it's going to be very tricky. Let's see. Mishnah Berurah, Difkatan Chav Ches, Ela B'davar, right? So he said that a person cannot claim he's a mitzdayer unless it's something that people typically consider mitzdayer. Dilav Hachi, because if it isn't so, Af Shehu mitzdayer, even if the individual is what? Is mitzdayer, Aminan Batla Daitel Eitzel Kol Adam. We say that his attitude is basically rendered insignificant by the universal consensus. Sifkatan Chavtes, Shederech Bnei Adam Mitzdayer. Now he gives the tricky part. Imlo Shehu Me'anine Adas. This is only if he is not of a type of nature where he's very makbid on these things. V'chol Anine Adas Mitzdarin B'zeh. As all people of a similar, let's say, istinous, fastidious type of nature, they all find this mitzdayer, and what comes out that there's basically a separate category of people that are like anine das, and therefore we would not say butla daitel etzel kol adam, and therefore he would be a mitzdayer if he's from the group of anine das. How one is magdir this is not so simple, but that would be the halacha. Finally, the end of this sif, long sif, the Ramah says, a person who's mitzdayer is potter only if leaving the sukkah will actually relieve him of that tzar. Otherwise, he's obligated to sit in the sukkah, even though he is in distress, even though he's mitzdayer, ella imyanatzel. So he says, if the leaving the sukkah will relieve him, that's when he's going to be potter. The atam de mitzdayer potter. What's the reason why mitzdayer is potter? Mishum de the kein di rabinan, because we require one to be able to dwell. We require one to dwell in the sukkah. Teishu kein taduru, right? Ein adam dar b'makom tzar, and a person doesn't go ahead and live in one's home throughout the year in a place that causes him tzar. Kol sheyuchali not somebody's ever base of achinami b'sukkah. If he has a way of relieving himself of that distress in a home, he would go ahead and take care of it. So too, regarding the sukkah, one is exempt only if leaving the sukkah will relieve him of that distress, like we say by a home. That's the whole purpose, and that's the whole basis, right? If, however, leaving his home would not relieve the tzar, he would simply, right, stay put in his home. So the same thing would be by a sukkah. Sif. Hey. Avel chayiv b'sukkah. Sifkat lamed aleph. Avel is chayiv b'sukkah. An avel, someone who is in avelus, is obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. Sifkat lamed aleph. Avel chayiv b'sukkah. The alef agav v'mistar patur min ha-sukkah. Even though one who experiences tsar is patur from the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah. Hadi yitzar v'meila balo machmas ha-sukkah. That is only involuntary tsar that one experiences because of the sukkah. But here, the avel causes himself discomfort and by basically ruminating upon his loss. So therefore, therefore he's required to calm his mind in order to allow himself to perform the mitzvah. Sefer Tanya writes, okay, Tanya doesn't mean Tanya, Balatanya, it's talking about the Tanya Rabbasai, which is a 13th century Rishon work attributed to Rabbi Yechiel Ben Yekusiel from Italy, from Rome. Anyway, in Sefer Tanya, it's written, if the person who passed away was so dear to the Avel that he cannot remove the thought of the loss from his lay, from his mind, Potter. He's Potter. He'll be Potter for the Mitzvah Sukkah. However, Tanya is speaking specifically of a situation in which the Avel has discomfort from sitting in the sukkah. Okay? And he says, Ayem b'seif Yeshuas Yaakov, shecholek b'zal Tanya, check out Yeshuas Yaakov, who disagrees with Tanya on this point. He points out that the Shulchan Aruch and most other poskim omit this kula, which indicates that they argue with the Tanya's psak. Ayem Shom, okay? Also check out the Sharatzion discussing this. Then he goes on, but if Megadim is unsure with regard to an onen on cholamoy, right? So an onen, as you know, is a mourner in the intervening period between the death of his karov and the burial. And this obviously refers to one of the seven close krovim over whom there's an obligation of avelus, i.e. the father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, or spouse. Okay, so an onen is basically pata from all mitzvahs. And some say that even if the onen wishes to perform mitzvahs, he's usher to do so out of kavod ha-meis. So he has a shaila, whether or not here, regarding an onen, a chalamayid, or even on yantif, or afil b'yantif, kishirosa l'kbor al yidei nachri, I say on yantif, when he wants to go ahead and have the burial via a non-Jew, b'yantif rishon, or al yidei Yisrael, or via a Jew, b'yantif sheni, does chal dinei aninus, you have the halachas of aninus, im chayev b'sukkah. Shaila is, whether or not he onen is chayev in sukkah, ayin shom. And check out the Yaakov, you'll see that he is Pater. The issue is regarding eating outside of the sukkah, whether that's usr. Only is Pater from positive commandments, but there might be an isr to eat outside of the sukkah. But anyway, he says the Bikuri Yaakov says that he is Pater. Let's move back to Sif Vav. Chasan v'shushbina v'chol b'nei achupa p'turim min ha sukkah kol shivas yemei ha mishnah. So what's going on over here? So this is based on the Gemara in Sukkah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, that a chasson is potter from the mitzvah of Sukkah. And the reason for this is that in earlier times, a chasson and a kala would have a specially designated area called a chuppah, where they would sit throughout the day during the whole first week of their marriage. Friends would come and join them during the meal, during meal times, in order to be misameach them. And it's apparent from the Gemara in Sukkah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, that the optimum level of simcha is achieved in the chuppah. And therefore, a chasan is not required to leave this area in order to eat in the sukkah. It's also not possible to make the chuppah, the Gemara there says, in a sukkah, since it is uncomfortable for the chasan to be misameach with his kala in a sukkah. We'll see more about this coming up. Basically, the idea is that the chasan is pater based on the principle of basic the mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, that one involved in a mitzvah is pater from the mitzvah. In addition, the chasan is considered stayer since he's uncomfortable making misameach with his bride in the sukkah, and therefore the kula discussed, we'll see coming up, will apply to him. And now included in the tour offered to the chasan are also the called the shushbinon, which were the groomsmen and the members of the chuppah. Now, the concept of shushbinon is a now, it's like basically defunct minhag, We don't have it anymore. But the friends and close acquaintances of the chassan would present him with gifts before the chassana and then join him for the sudos throughout the 7 days of Mishteh. And this was a reciprocal arrangement, with the shushbinin able to expect the groom to do the same for them when they would marry. And members of the chuppah party includes any of the people eating and rejoicing with the chassan. That's the kol bnei ha-chuppah that we'll see in this Shulchan Aruch. And those are the other people eating and mesameach with the chassan. They too are patur, as we see here, from the sukkah chassan v'shushbina, the kol bnei ha-chuppah, p'turim min ha-sukkah. So that's basically what's saying, that the chassan and the shushbinim and all the members of the chuppah are patur. Let's just look at the Mishnah Brura. He's going to spell this all out. We gave a very, very thorough intro, so it should go pretty quickly. Sivka on the base. The ain chassan. The ain simcha ela b'chuppah. Because there is no joy except in the chuppah. That is the simcha of the chassan v'kala. The chuppah nikra makom amuchal yeshivas chassan v'kala. And the chuppah, as we said, refers to the place prepared for the chassan and kala to sit in. And they cannot eat in the sukkah and then go and be misameach in the chuppah. Why? They ain't simcha ela makom suda, because the optimal simcha is achieved only in the setting of a suda. And we're talking where this refers, like this whole discussion of a chassan on sukkahs refers to where he got married on the erev of the regel, or kodem, or before that. They know sin nashim b'mayi, because you're not going to marry a woman on Yom Tov, as we saw Gedal El and Simon Tov Kuf Mem Vav. Tzivkat and Lamet Gimel, Pturim min ha-sukkah, Yesh mechayvin oso. So these chassan, shushbinam, lechob lechopah, they're pturim, but there are those who are mechayiv the chassan. Why? The sphere loot, that's lechob b'sukkah, l'smoch b'chopah. Because they hold that it's possible to eat in the sukkah and then be mesameach in the chuppah. Yalkein is kibu achronim. Therefore, the achronim write, to roi lechassan, appropriate for the chassan l'achmer l'atzmo. To be machmer b'leishay b'sukkah v'ol varach. To sit in the sukkah and not to make the bracha. V'chein ha-shushbinin k'sh'ochen eis al-chassan mesamchan asom b'sok shivas yamei ha-mishta. So to these shushbinin, when they eat by the chassan, they mesameach him during the 7 days of the mishta, v'yosh min shum b'sukkah, and they're sitting in the sukkah, ain't srichin l'varach, they should not make the bracha, they don't have to make the bracha. Aval k'sh'ochen b'beis al-chayim b'sukkah srichin l'varach. When they eat in their own home, then they and they're not being mislameach, then they would be chayiv, besukkah, and they would need to be mevarech. Akan.